Shishi Gurangauranga. Om Agnanantamirandasya Gnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyareva Cha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadarha Shrivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare O Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. O Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. O Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 5, Text 22. You have book or something? It has a big bhajan is there. And then Prabhupada's purport. Sarva Brahmani Nirbhata Rishikesha Padam Bhuje Akandam Chittamavesya Sarva Brahmani and spiritual sound, Nirbhata, placing clearly before the mind, Rishikesha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the Master of the Senses, Padam Bhuje, the lotus feet, Akantam, unbroken. Chittam, consciousness, avishya, engaging, lokan, all the planetary systems, anucharat, traveled around, muni, the great sage Narada Muni. Translation, the seven musical notes, sa-re-ga-ma-pa-dha and ni, are used in musical instruments, but originally they come from the Samaveda. The great sage Narada vibrates sounds describing the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. By such transcendental vibrations, such as Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, he fixes his mind at the lotus feet of the Lord. Thus he directly perceives Hrishikesha, the master of the senses, after delivering the Haryashvas. Narada Muni continued traveling throughout the planetary systems, his mind always fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord. Purpura Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The goodness of the great sage Narada Muni is described herewith. He always chants about the pastimes of the Lord and delivers the fallen souls back to Godhead. In this regard, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung,
Narada Muni Bhajai Vina Radhika Ramana Name Narada Muni Bhajai Vina Radhika Ramana Name Narada Muni Bhajai Vina Radhika Ramana Name Namamani Uditahai Bhakata Gita Same Namamani Bhakata Gita Same Amiyadhara Parishagana Shravana Yungale Giyya Parishagana Bhakata Jana Saghanena Che Bhakata Jana Pariya Panahiya Narada Muni Bhajai Vina Radhika Ramana Name Narada Muni Madhuri Papura Asaba Pashi Mataya Jangata Jane Asaba Pashi Mataya Jangata Keha Bhakande Keha Banache Keha mate mane mane Narada Muni Bhajaya Vina Radhika Ramana Name Narada Muni Bhajaya Vina Radhika Ramana Pancha Vandana Naradhe Dhari Premera Sangana Rola Kamalasana Nashiyabale Bolo Bola Hari Bola 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 Narada Muni Bhajaya Vina Radhika Ramana Name Radhika Ramana Name Sarhashranana Paramasuke Hari Hari Balingaya Hari Hari Mali Nama Prabhave mati la vishwa. Namara se sabapaya. Narada muni bhajaya vina radhika ramana name Krishna nama rasne spuri purala amara asha Shri Krishna nama rasne spuri purala amara asha Shri Rupa Pade Yachayahiha Bhakati Vinoda Dasa Narada Muni Majaya Vina Radhika Ramana Name Narada Muni Narada Muni Majaya Vina Radhika Ramana Name Narada Muni Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
The purport of this song is that Narada Muni, the great soul, plays a stringed instrument called a veena, vibrating the sound Radhika Ramana, which is another name for Krishna. As soon as he strokes the strings, all the devotees begin responding, making a very beautiful vibration. Accompanied by the string instrument, the singing seems like a shower of nectar, and all the devotees dance in ecstasy to the fullest extent of their satisfaction. While dancing, they appear madly intoxicated with ecstasy, as if drinking the beverage called Madhuripura. Some of them cry, some of them dance, and some of them, although unable to dance publicly, dance within their hearts. Lord Shiva embraces Narada Muni and begins talking in an ecstatic voice and seeing Lord Shiva dancing with Narada, Lord Brahma also joins, saying, all of you kindly chant, Haribo, Haribo. The king of heaven, Indra, also gradually joins with great satisfaction and begins dancing and chanting, Haribo, Haribo. In this way, by the influence of the transcendental vibration of the holy name of God, the whole universe becomes ecstatic. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when the universe becomes ecstatic, my desire is satisfied. I therefore pray unto the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami that this chanting of Harinam may go on nicely like this. That was a song. Lord Brahma is the guru of Narada Muni, who is the guru of Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva is the guru of Madhvacharya. Thus, the Gaudiya Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya is the disciple succession from Narada Muni. The members of this disciple succession, in other words, the members of the Krishna consciousness movement, shall follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni by chanting the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. They should go everywhere to deliver the fallen souls by vibrating the Hare Krishna mantra and the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita. That will please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One can spiritually advance if one actually follows the instructions of Narada Muni. If one pleases Narada Muni, then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Rishikesha, is also pleased. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasadha. The immediate spiritual master is a representative of Narada Muni. There is no difference between the instructions of Narada Muni and those of the present spiritual master. Both Narada Muni and the present spiritual master speak the same teachings of Krishna, who says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse 65-66, Manmana bhavamad bhakto mam yaji mam namaskuru mam evaishasi satyam te pratijane priyosime sarvadharman pratyagya mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarvapape pyo moksha ishami ma shuchah. Quote, always think of me and become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me, thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. Srila Prabhupada ki. So, in the last verse we heard how the Haryashras were fully convinced by their bona fide guru, how they became one in mentality with their guru. Eka Chetasaha was mentioned. They became one in mentality with their guru. So then, what did they do? Naturally, they abandoned their pious activity of populating the universe. Prabhupada mentioned in yesterday's verse that the Haryashas did not consider pious and impious activities. Understand? Transcendental life, bhakti, is one way of saying it is beyond piety and impiety. Another way of saying it is that it's the topmost piety that supersedes all other forms of so-called piety in this material world. Transcendental piety. You can say like that also. Shravanam Kirtanam. Punya Shravanam Kirtanam. We say like that also, isn't it? So after hearing from the guru, they surrendered to Krishna, followed the path that leads back home, back to Godhead. They took up bhakti yoga. So Narada Muni is ecstatic about this. Understand? Yes. Got him. Because not easy. Sometimes Narada Muni doesn't always get them, like in the case of Priyavrata. He also preached the same thing to Priyavrata, but Lord Brahma kind of interfered. That's maybe not the right language to use, but Lord Brahma was there, Narada Muni was there, another one was there also, third personality. You remember, fifth canto? Was it Shiva? Swayambhuvamanu. Three Mahajans preaching to you. It must be special to get that type of mercy. Three Mahajans. The 12, out of 12, three of them were preaching to one person. And Narada Muni told, give up all this nonsense, just surrender to Krishna. And Priyavrata was already renounced by inclination, so that was very easy to follow. But Swayambhuvamanu needed someone to take up the responsibility of maintaining the universe. Now, who would want that responsibility? Especially, maybe some of us are thinking, like, that would be nice. I'll be the emperor of the universe. But Priyavrata was already renounced. Swayambhuvamanu had two children, Uttanapad and the other one, Priyavrata, right? Yes, Uttanapan and Priyavrata. You remember? No one remembers anything from fifth canto. So then Uttanapan was ushered out. He left his body, so there was no one to rule the universe. Swayambhuvamanu asked Priyavrata, you rule the universe. Narada Muni said, no, don't even bother with all these things. Just chant Hare Krishna. And Priyavrata was happy with that. Then finally, Brahma had to intercede and convince him to take up the management of the universe. My point was that Narada Muni doesn't always let's say, succeed in these sorts of instructions. As such, not that it was a failure in that case, but as such, it doesn't always succeed. But in this case, 10,000 men in one stroke. It's pretty good. You feel pretty ecstatic about that too, isn't it? So Narada Muni is ecstatic. 10,000 men have just decided to join the Brahmacharya Ashram at one stroke. So he's feeling ecstasy. So he begins playing his veena. This is an ecstatic situation. So Prabhupada is quoting that bhajan. So from his veena, the holy name is coming out. And when that holy name enters into the ether, everyone becomes ecstatic. And so that's what the past. So Shiva, Lord Brahma, they're ecstatic. Shiva's talking like a madman. Probably you couldn't understand what he was saying. Because he's in ecstasy. Just like sometimes in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's mentioned how Advaita Acharya or Haridas Thakur, I don't remember who. Haridas Thakur. He would say things from his mouth that wouldn't even be words. He would be like, and everyone would start going into ecstasy hearing that sound vibration. He would be, such ecstasy would be coming. He wouldn't even be saying anything coherent also, but everyone would be going into ecstasy. Anything that comes out of the mouth of a sadhu is Shabda Brahman, even if it appears to be incoherent and not logical and so on. Anything coming out of a true sadhu's mouth is all Shabda Brahman. It has purifying powers to deliver the soul. So holy name has been coming from Narada Muni's veena. Everyone is dancing in ecstasy. Lord Shiva is dancing in ecstasy, speaking like madman. And when Lord Brahma sees that, he goes, Haribo, Haribo. Others see that, they also go, Haribo, Haribo. In this way, the holy name is intoxicating everyone. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur's meditation has made the chanting of the holy names of Krishna go on like this. May it continue like this. He surrenders to the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami. May the holy name continue like this. That's kind of the first paragraph. The feeling is Narada Muni is greatly happy to see that the Haryashvas have followed the path that leads to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in the second purport, Prabhupada says that this is the mission of the Sampradaya. Because Lord Brahma is the guru of Narada, Narada is the guru of Vyasadeva, Vyasadeva is the guru of Madhvacharya. Our Gaudiya Sampradaya is coming in that line. Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya, Brahma Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya is taught like that. And so Narada Muni is our guru. He's, you know, supreme guru, Parama guru, topmost guru is there. He's coming in our disciple succession. So we should take up the mission of Narada Muni. That's the feeling of Prabhupada's purport here. That the mission of Narada Muni is what? To spread the transcendental vibration of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Spread the chanting of the holy name of Krishna backed by proper spiritual conception. Prabhupada's pointing that. So he says, not only spread the holy name of Krishna, but also the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita. One gets the result of his conception of the name. So if you have a conception of the name that is for enjoyment, Bhoga Nam, which is kind of like Napara, Bhukti Nam. Bhukti, Mukti, understand? Bhukti, Mukti. Bhukti means enjoyment. Mukti means desire for liberation. And then Prema Nam, three types of name, understand? Three types, Bhukti Nam, Mukti Nam, Prema Nam, understand? So those who are too much affected by karma, they chant Bhukti Nam. So what is their conception? The name should give them enjoyment. And they want to chant the holy name so they can exploit the name of Krishna for their own enjoyment. Understand? It's called Bhukti Nam. That, it has its benefit. It can get you all sorts of material prosperity just by chanting Bhukti Nam. Although it's a type of nam-aparad. What type of aparad this is? Aparad this is, Bhukti Nam, what type of aparad this is? Huh? The 10th offense. What is the 10th offense? Staying attached to material. What is the attachment? The attachment is to? I and mine. Understand? That's what the Sanskrit is. The attachment is to? I and mine. What is that? I am the enjoyer, and this world is mine for the taking. Understand? This attachment is there. I am the enjoyer. Controller, although there's so much evidence to the contrary, still one is thinking like that. So this world is mine for the taking. That type of chanting you do with that mentality, it's an aparad. It's called Bhukti Nam. But even that bhakti nam can get you so much material prosperity. So just like I went to this bhakti fest event. So many are chanting holy name of Krishna also. And some of the kirtans get really ecstatic. Everyone's dancing, everything. Looks like the same scene almost. Although Narad Muni is not singing. But it looks like the same thing. Someone is singing Hare Krishna also. Everyone is dancing. Oh, Prabhupada clarifying. The mission of the Hare Krishna movement is to spread the holy name. These other groups are also spreading the holy name. They may say like that. Someone may argue like that. So spread the holy name backed by proper conception. Because you'll get the result of the conception that you have. So if you chant the holy name of Krishna, Bhukti Nam, so you can get enjoyment out of chanting the holy name, you'll get the result of that conception. What is that result? You'll get some enjoyment. Huh? Your senses will enjoy. You will appreciate ecstatic here. Some people are dancing. But also, you will get samsara. Understand? Because the result of enjoyment is continued birth and death. Then there are others who chant the name of Krishna for mukti, called mukti nam. Just like there was this, what was his name? Ramdas Vishwas. Ramdas Vishwas is his name. Everyone thought he was a great devotee of Lord Ramchandra because he was constantly 24 hours a day chanting the name of Ram. Whole day he was Ram, 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 Ram. Whole day chanting the name of Ram. They said, what devotion he has for Ram. So once when Raghunath Das was going, this is before he took the renounced order of life, he was going to meet Lord Chaitanya in Puri. So Ram Das Vishwas wanted to go with Raghunath Das to also meet Lord Chaitanya. So they went. When they arrived before Lord Chaitanya embraced Raghunath Das and showed him so much affection, and he didn't even give any attention to Ram Das Vishwas. So everyone was shocked to see this, and Ram Das Vishwas was most shocked, because everyone was always glorifying him. You're such a great bhakta of Ramchandra. Certainly Lord Chaitanya will be pleased with you. You're 24 hours a day chanting the name of Ram. But Lord Chaitanya didn't even look at him and showed him no attention. So this was going on for some days or something. Finally, Ram Das Vishwas was bewildered, because he wanted that mercy of Lord Chaitanya also. Everyone knew the greatness of Lord Chaitanya. He wanted that mercy of Lord Chaitanya also, but Lord Chaitanya was completely neglecting him. Why? Because of his spiritual conception behind the name. So finally, knowing that Ram Das Vishwas was wanting his kindness, Lord Chaitanya finally said something to him, you're all right. You're all right. But give up this idea of merging to Ram by chanting the name of Ramchandra. So Lord Chaitanya neglected him because of his spiritual conception was not proper. So he didn't appreciate that name also. Although he was constantly chanting the name, that's a great feat. But this type of chanting is called Pratibhimba Namabhas, understand? And there are two types of Namabhas are there. One is called Chaya Namabhas, shadow of the real name. Abhasa means a semblance of the name. So Namabhas, a semblance of the name. So there are two types of Namabhas. One is called a shadow. Another is called a reflection, Pratibhimba. Pratibhimba means reflection. Understand? Two types. The first type, Chaya Namabhas, is not offensive. The second one, Pratibhimba Namabhas, tends to be offensive. It tends to be converted into Namaparad. There's a good image to get a greater sense of this two types of Namabhas. Shadow, when you see the shadow is connected to your person, isn't it? The shadow, you can't walk away from your shadow, isn't it? You cannot walk away from your shadow. But a reflection is not connected to you, like in a very literal sort of sense connected. It's reflected in some other surface without any actual connection to the substance. Understand? Can you picture those two things? So Chaya Namabhas is not so bad because it's still connected to something substantial. Chaya Namabhas means to chant the shadow of the holy name means that you have no improper spiritual conception. You have no impersonal conception particularly. And you kind of just chanting because of the influence of some bhaktas. You associate with bhaktas who are chanting purely. And by their influence, you also feel inspired to chant Hare Krishna. So it's not like you're chanting because you're looking for enjoyment per se. Or even you have some sort of philosophical conceptions or misconceptions by which you're chanting. You're just chanting because you got some association of some bhaktas who are chanting ecstatically. So sometimes the pure devotees, I say, going Harinam. And all those people, Hare Krishna, imitating the pure devotees. Or getting inspired by the kirtan. Sometimes that happens also. They get inspired, so they pick up a car, they learn the mantra, and they start chanting by the influence of those pure devotees. That type of chanting is Chaya Namabhas. And if they continue to chant like that in the association of devotees, they will develop Shuddha Nam in short time. Understand? Pratibimba Namabhasa reflection is a little bit more deceitful because they chant the name of Krishna, but they want to exploit Krishna for their own purposes, generally in context here for liberation, mukti nam. So it tends to become a type of opera because the mentality is one of exploiting the Godhead, understand? I will exploit the Godhead for my own purposes. It's nothing offensive. I don't know if there's no offense that exactly says like this, that one should not exploit the Supreme Lord for his own purposes. But you can understand what an opera it is. The mentality is offensive. So Lord Chaitanya did not appreciate that mentality and Ram Das Vishwas. So he wasn't showing him any attention. Finally, when Ram Das Vishwas wanted that mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya said, "You're all right, you're not too bad. But you give up this desire to merge into Ram by chanting the name of Ram." He didn't appreciate his spiritual conception. So he asked him to abandon it, get proper conception, then chant Hare Krishna. Then Premanam, what is Premanam? Premanam literally means chanting the name of Krishna with prema. That is called Premanam, understand? Lord Chaitanya's movement is called Premanam Sankirtan. You understand? You heard this before? Why is it called Premanam Sankirtan? Once when the devotees were coming to Jagannath Puri, so on the rooftop was Gopinath Acharya and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya did not know all the Vaishnavas who were coming, Advaita Acharya, Nityananda. He did not know all these persons. So they were on the rooftop, and Gopinath Acharya was telling every single devotee's name who was coming. He knew everyone. It's very special. That's a very tough thing to do. He knew hundreds of devotees are coming. He was one by one naming all of them. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Who are these great personalities? Like this. And then Prataparudra Maharaj was also there. And Prataparudra Maharaj was hearing the devotees chant Hare Krishna. And he was bewildered. He was used to seeing kirtan. He lives in Puri. So much kirtan is going on in Puri. But when Lord Chaitanya's devotees were chanting, he said, "What is this vibration? I've never heard anything like this before. This type of kirtan I have not heard before." So then, maybe Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya or Gopinath Acharya, one of them I'm not remembering, he told, "This is a special type of creation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Srishti. This is a special creation of Lord Chaitanya. This time, not ordinary kirtan. This kirtan is called as Premanam Sankirtan." I didn't think to speak any of this. No, this is just coming to my mind now. Premanam Chaitanya Srishti. This is a special creation of Lord Chaitanya. Chanting Premanam Sankirtan means what? It means that you have prema, then you chant Hare Krishna. Understand? You have prema, and then you chant Hare Krishna. That's called as Premanam Sankirtan. If you don't have prema, not exactly Premanam Sankirtan, understand? But in our, understand? You caught that? If you don't have prema, it's not exactly Premanam, right? You need prema to chant Premanam. Otherwise, not Premanam, understand? Not Premanam. But there are two types, Prema Rukshu and Prema Ruda. This language is used in Bhagavad Gita also, Yoga Gurushu and Aruda. A Rukshu means the beginning stage. And the Aruda means the stage of attainment, the final stage, understand? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you need to go from the Arurukshu stage to the Aruda stage, chapter 6 Bhagavad Gita, understand? So there's Prema Arurukshu, Prema Aruda. So Prema Aruda means you attain Prema, you chant holy name, and that's called as Premanam. So then before that, there's Prema Arurukshu, that means the stage of aspiring for Prema. On that stage of... And what marks out those who are aspiring for prema? What marks them out? Sharanagati. Particularly surrender to the name of Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur Bhaktisiddhanta says that for those who are prema rukshu devotees, then what marks them out is their surrender to the holy name of Krishna. He mentioned out of all the angas of bhakti, those Sharanagata devotees who are prema rukshu, that means to indicate that all Sharanagatas are prema rukshu, or in context of prema, vrajra prema rukshu. Gaudiya Vaishnava means vrajra praying, not prema in general, not just like love. Love is such a useless word in one sense. It doesn't really convey the idea. Vrajra prema. So those who are vrajra prema rukshu, then what marks them out, those particular devotees, is their surrender to the holy name. Out of all the angas of bhakti, they give preeminence to chanting Hare Krishna. Primarily, they do that only. Of course, Shravanam, Smaranam are inseparable aspects. They may also do some deity worship also because it is considered the most powerful form, but one of the five most potent forms of bhakti. But the reason why deity worship is considered a potent form of bhakti, do you know the reason why deity worship is considered one of the five? There are five most potent forms of bhakti. You know these five? Five most potent forms of bhakti. Sadhu Sangha, Nam Sankirtan, Bhagavat Shravan, Dambas, Maturavas, yeah, so serving the deities, five most powerful forms. Understand? Somehow that didn't make the list. That's the entryway to these five most powerful forms. Understand? Five most powerful forms of bhakti. You understand? Did you catch it? So why sadhu sangha is considered on the list? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta has enlightened us. Why sadhu sangha? Because sadhus are always chanting Hari Nam. And therefore, if you associate with them, you will also chant Hari Nam. Therefore, it is said sadhu sangha is most powerful. Then Mathura, why Mathura Vas, Dham Vas, living the Dham considered? Because the sadhus go to Mathura to chant the holy name. So if you go to Mathura, you will meet some sadhus there chanting the holy name, and then you will chant the holy name. So therefore, it is said Mathura Vas is also most potent. Then why deity worship is considered most potent? Because you have to chant mantras in worship of the deity, understand? And each mantra is has conjugated names of the Lord. Conjugated means Vasudevaya, Krishnaya, Gopijana Vallabhaya. These are called conjugated names of the Lord. So it is the name of the Lord in the mantra that makes the deity worship considered also most potent form of bhakti. Then final one, or another one, Bhagavat Shravan. Why Bhagavat Shravan considered? In the beginning, middle, and end, the messages chant Hare Krishna, take shelter. The last verse itself says, take shelter of Nam Sankirtan. When Parashat Maharaj in the beginning asked what is the duty of all men, especially those about to die, the answer he got back was the constant chanting of the holy name of Krishna. And in the middle of the Bhagavatam, you have this Ajramil Leela, which is all about the glories of chanting Hare Nam. So in beginning, middle, and end, the message of the Bhagavatam is to take shelter of Nam Sankirtan. So therefore, the Bhagavad Shravan is considered one of the most potent forms because of its message of taking shelter of the name of Krishna. Understand? So all these potent forms are considered potent because of their relationship to the holy name of Krishna. Otherwise, their status may not be as such. Their status is such because of their relationship to the holy name of Krishna. So those who are Premarukshu, Vraja Premarukshu, desiring to attain love of Godhead in the realm of Vraja, then what marks them out is their surrender to the holy name of Krishna. Out of all the angas, they will take seriously, and that too, marked by proper spiritual conception as received from the Guru Parampara. Understand? Your conception of the name makes all the difference. Understand? I already gave example. You have conception of the name for enjoyment, you get enjoyment and also repeated birth and death. You have conception of the name for mukti, you can get mukti also. But the pratibimba, the philosophical misconception that God is not a person has to go. Otherwise, that mukti nam will not get you mukti. That is pratibimba, namabhas. And then prema nam, if you're prema rukshu, you want prema, then that name will get you prema. Understand? So our conception of the name will be all important. So the purpose of the disciple succession that comes from Narada Muni is to spread the chanting of the holy name. But the proper spiritual conceptions coming from Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, then Prabhupada says this will please the personality of Godhead. Understand? So then how do we receive that? I already mentioned it. We receive that by contact with the representatives of the Parampara now. Understand what Prabhupada says here. Those who are representing the disciple section now. If one pleases Narada Muni, the immediate spiritual master is a representative of Narada Muni. There is no difference between the instructions of Narada Muni and those of the present. So by the immediate relationship, the relationship with the immediate representatives of Parampara, you will get the right conception, you will become Sharanagata, surrender to the name of Krishna, and you will get the result of your Sharanagati and your proper spiritual conception. You will get prema. Then when you hear the holy name, you can participate in the scene. If we were to go to the same ecstatic scene, we may not feel the same. We don't, not that we may not, we don't feel the same ecstasy. In kirtan, we feel ecstasy because we're acting foolish. And that gives us great joy. Because we're Kali Yuga creatures. So we start acting a little foolish. And in kirtan, it's okay, no problem. Maybe it pleases the Supreme Lord to see us dancing, not that we're acting foolish. But we're acting foolish, and that's helping us to kind of relate to each other. Otherwise, we live in our own bubbles the rest of the day. So in that way, we're getting some ecstasy because we're acting like fools. Huh? We want to do that regularly, but we know it's not valuable in spiritual circles. You've got to be a little bit sober. Tira. You should be very sober. So that ecstasy is coming. But if we hear a holy name, many times we may not get ecstasy. If it doesn't have the right tuning, the timing is off, we don't get any ecstasy, isn't it? Huh? Some old Baba is singing, and some very flat notes are coming. Then you feel, oh, this kirtan is useless. Huh? You get like this sort of idea comes to mind. This kirtan is not going on properly. You see, I'm going to go to the ISKCON Center because they have nice rhythm is there. Everything is nice. They have no ecstasy, actually. But when you are aspiring for prema, you make advancement, you get prema also, then the name manifests. And it causes all these ecstatic things to come out. And the purpose of our disciple succession is to spread this chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Of course, to do so very effectively, which isn't easy in the age of Kali, especially now with all the kirtan movements going on in the world, all over the place, kirtan is becoming very popular. Bhakti Fest is basically a bunch of kirtan people from all over America, primarily. And they come and they do kirtan also. So they're doing kirtan, we're also doing kirtan, and no one will know the difference, actually. What is the difference between? So then you, if you try to tell what is a proper spiritual conception, no one will hear you also. Especially you start telling this is not right, that is not right, that, then they definitely will not hear that. They don't want to hear that. All of it is wonderful, it's all love, brother. And they come and embrace you and kiss you. Yes, boys and girls both, they come. Embrace you and kiss you. And you say, this is not proper, that is not proper, they'll not like you. They'll say, get out, get out. We don't want to have anything to do with you. So to spread the holy name of Krishna with proper spiritual conception is a great challenge in the age of Kali. Prabhupada says in the Ishopanishad, in talking about the pseudo-spiritual masters in text number 12 or 13 of the Ishopanishad, that these pseudo-spiritualists are creating great havoc in the world, and they're making it hard for pure devotees to preach. Prabhupada says like that in the And they're making it hard for pure devotees to preach because everyone thinks they already know. Just like I was in the hotel, and the hotel, one of the hotel managers, he decided to go to the kirtan one night. And it costs a lot of money. It's not cheap. It's not for broke people. It's like a subculture of yuppies and so on. It's expensive. And so this one manager, he decided to go. And then the morning time, I was washing clothes. And I was hearing him speak about his experience. So he was telling some of the kitchen crew that it was nice, but, you know, I just wanted to go and see what it was, and now I know what it is, and that's not my thing. And I was like, what do you know? You went to one kirtan, and now I know what it is. What do you know? You don't know anything. What is the name? What is the proper conception of the name? You don't know anything. Of course, I didn't say that to him. I didn't walk up to him and say, what do you know? You know, I was just thinking like that. And he's thinking that that is the what it is. And then he'll see the devotees, it is the same thing only. They're just singing a little bit differently, acting a little bit differently, but it is the same thing. So it is very difficult to spread the chanting of the holy name proper in the age of Kali. You have to be very empowered. Kali Kalera Dharma Krishna Nama Sankirtan Krishna Shakti Vinanahe Tarapavartan. The only person who can really spread the holy name effectively, Tarapavartan, they have to be invested with Krishna Shakti. That basically means prema. Krishna Shakti and prema, non-different. Because prema is Krishna Shakti, understand? So basically, one needs to develop prema, chant prema nam, and then some effect will certainly come. Although it'll be a great challenge even then, but some effect will come. This is the goal of our sampradaya also. Very simple goal, but simple, simultaneously lofty. But the real happiness of life, real inner fulfillment, can be found in the loftier goals of life. Understand? Some fulfillment can come in the strategic landmarks that lead toward the goal of life. Attainment of the strategic landmark, if you think of the process of bhakti from shraddha to prema, then in the beginning we are told, let us try to attain nishtha, isn't it? Because prema is far. So this is first just try to get steady in Krishna consciousness, isn't it? So if you attain some steadiness, you'll get some fulfillment, but not complete. And a complete inner fulfillment won't come from that. But you'll get some steadiness and you'll go on with your bhakti. Then you get some ruchi. Now, ruchi means some actual taste for the chanting of the holy name, for the practices of bhajan. Understand? Ruchi means you get taste for the practices of bhajan, shravanam, kirtanam, etc. You'll get some fulfillment for that, but not complete inner fulfillment come from that also. Then you get some asakti, some attachment to the Lord and his services, particularly to the form of the Lord, your Ishtadeva. You'll get some happiness from that also, but not complete inner fulfillment. All the inner fulfillment lies in, the complete, absolute inner fulfillment lies in the loftier goals of Krishna consciousness. The ones that we generally may not always want to give so much discussion to because they're lofty. Talking about prema and the spiritual world, it's all very lofty stuff. And we're struggling over on the faith level. I'm way down here struggling with faith. But all inner fulfillment can actually be found in the loftier subject matter, the loftier attainments. And if you gain that inner fulfillment, then you'll be able to distribute that inner fulfillment to others also. This is the goal of our sampradaya. It's mentioned here. It's awesome. I want to ask something. Yeah, question, comments.
Thank you very much, Ru. How can we, how does one move from Namabhas to the Shudanam?
Well, it's described in many places, but particularly Harinam Chintamani Baba Bhaktivinoda Thakur, dedicates two chapters to Namabhas. What is the difference between Namabhas and Shudanam? Anyone knows? Anyone's read this Harinam Chintamani? You looked at it. I'm sure you don't remember much. A little bit. Anyone knows the difference between Namabhas and Shudanam? Free of offenses. No offenses. So holy name is compared to a sun and by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Then there's some clouds that block the sun. It doesn't actually block the sun, but it blocks our vision of the sun. So there are some clouds in our heart which blocks our experience of the holy name of Krishna. Those clouds are called as anartas, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur says are three categories in Harinam Chintamani. Three categories of anartas, each with their four divisions. First category of anarta, called as asat-chishna, a thirst for the temporary. A thirst for the temporary means a thirst for sense gratification, swargaloka. Generally, no one believes in these things anymore, swargaloka. Siddhis means mystic powers, and mukti, liberation. This is called as asat-chishna, thirst for the asat, something that's substantial. That's one category in the four divisions. One category of anartha. Another category, weakness of heart. Weakness of heart means envy, fault-finding, duplicity, attachment to objects not related to Krishna, and pratishtha, puffed up. Like, I want to be number one, the best, the highest. So these are called weakness of heart. Understand? Then another division is called as aparad. Aparatu, name, of course, Aparatu, Vaishnavas. It's interesting because in Namaparad, the first Namaparad is an offense to Vaishnavas. But offense to Vaishnavas is so severe that it gets his own category also. He did Namaparad and Vaishnavaparad. But Vaishnavaparad, Vaishnava is only considered in the Namaparads. So why getting separate category? Because, underscore, that one is really problematic for conditioned souls. Their tendency to commit Vaishnavaparad. Then, Seva aparad means offense to the deities. And jiva aparad, offense to other jivas. Just like you see some insect, you step on it. Oh, aparad, that's offensive. Killing, why are you killing? Huh? He's also Krishna's part and parcel. Why are you killing? I didn't like his body. Just like some of the roaches, particularly. Roaches have bodies that just irritate the mind, isn't it? Something about roaches that really irritates the mind, where you just like kind of freak out, isn't it? So you see, you smash it, jiva aparad. So these type of aparads are there. So these are clouds of anartha. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there's also a mist of ignorance. Huh? Ignorance has four divisions also. Ignorance about jiva, ignorance about God, ignorance about the process. Sarinatatu, their ignorance about that, some misconceptions coming about the process, ignorance about the goal. Understand? Four types. So they're mists of ignorance, the clouds of anartus, that are blocking our experience or vision of the sun-like holy name. So this is what is called this namabas. So in namabas, there's some ignorance, there's some anartus that is blocking the experience. So how do we move the clouds and mists? The interesting thing about that is that if some clouds are blocking, some mists is there, by your own power you cannot do. You cannot move the cloud by yourself. Get out of the way. Get out of the way. Just like Mother Jamuna, she tells a story about she was practicing some sort of meditation thing before she met Srila Prabhupada. And she went up to the beach, and it was on a rainy day, you know? And her idea was that she was going to meditate and merging with the sun, I think. But the sun never came out because it was a rainy day. So she was really disappointed by that, you know, because she thought she was God and was going to merge into the sun. Sun never came up because it was a rainy day. So she was disappointed. So while she was walking back, she saw one poster there for some spiritual event, some spiritual speaker was coming right at that moment. So she went to that event, evening time or whenever it was, and it was Prabhupada speaking, and Prabhupada was giving an example about something. And Prabhupada said, we are not the controllers. Just like, and he gave this as an example, just like you may want the sun to come up, but on the rainy day, the sun does not come up. So you are not the controller. And Mother Jamuna was blown away. That was exactly what was going on. She later on became very attracted to Prabhupada by that. So by your own power, you cannot remove the clouds and the mist. Some other higher power has to do that, in a sense. So that power is sadhus. But what is their power? They're speaking. Understand? The vibration coming from them removes the nartras gradually, removes the mist. Understand? So one hears from sadhus, he hears a pure holy name from them, he hears instructions from them, he hears about the Lord's qualities and beauty and leelas. By constantly hearing from those sadhus, then all that stuff is removed. Then he comes to the point of ruchi bhakti. This point of ruchi bhakti is beginning of shuddha bhakti. So nam means chanting the name with ruchi. That is the beginning of pure holy name coming out. When one chants the holy name with ruchi, that is the beginning of Shuddha Bhakti. Shuddha Bhakti begins that stage. Nanda Nam Najanam Nasundari Kavitam Vajagadishakamaye Mama Jamani Jamani Shure Bhavata Bhaktir Ahituki Twai. Isn't it? Fourth verse of Shishashakam is Ruchi Bhakti. He says Bhavata Bhaktir Ahituki. Ahituki Bhakti. Pure Bhakti. That time, pure name is coming out. Otherwise, before that is Anartha Nivritti is going on Bhajan Kriya. Understand? Okay.
The other question was that on the point of so many other groups and kirtan movements coming, I was putting up some flyers in Granville and the restaurants and all the stuff out there. Practically the only other posters in most of the shops was for different meditation centers and techniques. Mm-hmm. I'd go into a store, there'd be like four posters, meditation class, meditation meeting, Bhagavad Gita discussion, you know, and another meditation. So it's so prominent that those are the only posters in these shops. So I was wondering, in light of maybe Srimad Bhagavatam, if you can explain at this point in time, these groups are coming up. And I'm thinking it's an opportunity is needed for preaching. I mean, so I was looking at it in that light. But you were mentioning how it makes it difficult for us to preach. So Bhagavatam mentioned...
It is just like when you go to the store looking for some medicine for headache and you have 100 choices, then which one is the best? Which one is the best for you? You know, the cheapest one. You know, someone may think like that. So you get something cheap then. You get something cheap that doesn't really work. So you have posters. So many posters are there. How do you know what is genuine, what is not genuine? If you want something cheap, you get something cheap then. You get cheated. So that's why, in that sense, it is difficult. When you go to sometimes for many of us, when we were kind of falling into our spirituality, we may have went to the bookstore and go to the spiritual shelf, you know, the New Age shelf. Okay, get some spiritual vibrations, some spiritual book. How do you know which one to choose? So many books will be there, all very bewildering. So where to start with? If you have so many options, where to start? How do you know where to start? You become bewildered. So in that sense, it is bewildering. It makes it challenging to preach. And also, you will preach something, and someone will say, well, I read this in this other book, which is also a spiritual book. Your book is a spiritual book. This book is also a spiritual book. So you say one thing, and they say, I read this in this book. And it may be an opposite, contradictory. They say, I like that one. And then what do you say to that? Oh, that is wrong? Then they say, you are sectarian. And they don't want to hear anything from you after that. So in that sense, it is challenging. It is a challenge. Even sometimes, because the image of God is usually not the most theistic, it's usually impersonal, or more or less atheistic. Then if you say God in any sort of intense devotional way, they get intimidated. If you just speak about God as like a principle, a concept that helps you to meditate, then no problem. But you start talking about surrender to God, completely dedicate your soul, and that's how you name him out specifically, Krishna, not just God, you know, you just help them out. Krishna, this one, not everyone, Krishna. Then they feel a little bit intimidated. That's too intense, you know. We like, generally like Michael's friend, Justin, he was writing me, shouldn't we just learn to see that all the forms of God are one and Krishna? I said, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in Krishna and developing love for Krishna. So yes, we can see the oneness of all the forms, but that's just the platform that is all one. Everything is one with Krishna in that sense. But that's just a platform. When real love is there when it becomes more specific. And so in this sense, it is a great challenge. It is not so easy. It is a great challenge. In another sense, it is, like you said, it's an opportunity. People are looking for spirituality, something that can satisfy them. They're looking for inner fulfillment. And devotees can enter into the spiritual discussion. And depending on their shakti, they can take over also. Not so much by... The force program won't work as effectively because people are always on guard, sectarianism and religious fanaticism. But by power, shakti, I don't want to use the word charisma as such, but spiritual potency, purity, people will become attracted and influenced. Yeah, same. So they will become attracted. Not everyone will come, though. That is a fact, also. Everyone's not ready to receive. So we need not be like... we should also appreciate the rarity of Krishna consciousness, Manushanam. So that, you know, we get despondent because every person isn't taking Krishna consciousness. And it would be nice if that was really coming from compassion. Usually it's coming from something else. But even if it is coming from compassion, it is reality that everyone will not be able to take, because they're not ready, and perhaps also we're not powerful enough to inject Krishna consciousness into the... Mention what? Well, in the 11th canto, Uddhava, he asked why there were so many religions. If it's all one God and one Dharma, why do they all express a different Dharma and with different sorts of goals and so on? So Krishna more or less says people are under the modes of nature. So according to yataruchi yatakarma, according to their taste and what they're doing, they will say that one is the best. And that way you get this plethora of, you know, ideas for religion and spirituality. Because and they'll look at us like that also. According to what we have taste in and what we're doing, we say that is the best. Someone else is having taste for something else, doing something else, they say that is the best. So how do you know amongst everyone who's saying, like, everyone is saying the same thing, so who to choose? Then someone is saying, everyone is good. Huh? How is everyone good? If I say that you are not good, then how am I good? And you say everyone is good, you should accept everyone, but I'm preaching that no one should accept you. So you accept that also? Of course, some of them are really lost intelligence. They say, yes, everything is wonderful, brother, and hug and kiss you. And but if you keep pressing them, you can really bring out the real thing. We don't want to do that too much, but sometimes you just keep pressing them. Say, well, anyway, you are nonsense like that. Then finally, there's only so much a person can say before the real thing starts coming out. Anyway, so this is a great challenge. Okay, anything else? Luke. And we have to go. I think the Brahmacharya meeting is there. I forgot.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu, for a nice discussion. In the purport Prabhupada mentions that Narad Muni, he's always chanting Radhika Rama, which is the name of Krishna. I was under the understanding that Narada Muni is an eternal servant of Lord Narayan. Is that correct?
Dwarkadish Krishna.
Oh, okay. What distinguishes devotees in terms of their... Of course, we understand to be a devotee means to be a servant of Krishna in one of his unlimited forms, but what distinguishes different devotees in terms of their position in the spiritual reality?
They're the type of love, their bhava for Krishna. According to their love, then corresponding form, a form that corresponds with that love reciprocates with them.
So what's our responsibility in, as like aspiring to be situated on that path you mentioned, prema aruruksu, aspiring for a particular type of prema?
Oh, our responsibility is to practice Krishna consciousness and get some tastes. And Gaudiya Sampradaya conception is clear, but Mahaprabhu is all accommodating, so you can develop any type of love. So first one has to find out what type of love really attracts his heart. So that's the first sort of, you can say, many responsibilities are there, but in moving the loftier direction of Krishna consciousness where inner fulfillment is complete, then one has to first find out what is the type of love that attracts his heart. And then from there, he can understand how to cultivate. It is not that you can demand someone to love in a certain way. That is nonsense. And the Bhagavatam clearly mentions that. Rupa Goswami quotes the Bhagavatam in this way. You cannot say that someone must love Krishna in this way. One can only say that this is what Mahaprabhu was came to give, but he's come to give all the rasas in relationship to Krishna, Kaviraj Goswami points out. So in looking in the direction of loftier aspects, first one needs to develop ruchi. From that platform, he may gain insight by the influence of that ruchi. What is the type of love that of Krishna's associates that attracts his heart the most? And then from there, he will cultivate his Krishna consciousness. And it is an internal affair. It's not like something to be announced to everyone. This is how I love Krishna. Make a big announcement to the whole world. I love Krishna in this way, and this is what I'm doing. That'll be an inner affair. Most Krishna conscious advancement is an inner affair. Therefore, you cannot know who is sadhu also, many times. Finding sadhu is difficult because sadhus are just, they're internal half the time. Now we're a preaching movement. So we preach Gaudiya Vaishnavism. We're preaching Mahaprabhu's concept. We accept the opinions of Mahaprabhu as our own opinions. So Mahaprabhu's inclination is very specific. So we accept those things, we preach those things also. But then when it gets to the loftier aspects, it is a private affair, as much as our consciousness is itself a private affair. No one can know, except for Krishna, what is going on in our hearts and our consciousness. Subjective reality is quite private. And certain devotees, they may divulge certain private things in order to inspire others who are trying to come to such loftier understandings of Krishna consciousness also. But even that revealing doesn't do much as such. It doesn't give them perfect clarity of what is the actual love of the devotee. It can only give them something to, like a sign, something pointing in a particular direction. But they cannot fully understand what is the love of these individuals. It's impossible. So, you know, first get some ruchi, then find out what is the love that is really attracts my heart. And if there's some real love, there can be no attraction to the charm of Maya. No question. Someone is thinking, I am attracted in love this way, and I'm also attracted to my girlfriend. Then that is sham devotion. That is not complete. That's not real. Or if it is real, that is narcissism going on. He's still in Bhajan Kriya stage. Real attraction to one of the Krishna's associates has not actually come up. If there is real loba, then the charm in the material world is vanquished. No charm. You're not charmed by anything in the material world. That way your full mind can concentrate on Krishna and his leelas. As long as there's some charm from the material world, the mind cannot focus completely. He'll be meditating and then he'll be thinking of something. Oh, this is going on, that is going on. So one needs to gain some loba, real loba, where the charm of the material world is smashed to pieces. Nandanam, nandjanam, nasundari. then his full mind can call Ahaituki Bhakti. And from there, whatever, however Krishna is extending himself to that devotee, and the devotee is getting certain inspiration, he will cultivate his Krishna consciousness accordingly. We were hearing, anyway, Bhakti Vishrama Madhava Maharaj was sharing a few things that was nice in this regard. We're going to have to stop because it's time for the Brahmacharya meeting, I forgot. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
One quick question.